Okay, I greet you all in the name of Jesus Christ. And you know that my mother language is not English. If you don't understand something, I ask you that you will let me know that I will try again. And maybe Sarita can also help if there come some difficult words to pronounce. Maybe it was 2 or 3 years ago I was very close to keep up my English studying and even to stop ministering here in the United States. But then there came a letter from Idaho. Old prophet sent me a letter there and said that never give up your English studying. Go on. It came as God's current time, and so that's why I'm here still speaking during this trip in English. And Lord has very strongly put my heart to reach those who has called into the ministry, or who even are in the ministry, to help them to go on with their ministry to serve the Lord. And for that reason, I made a book for those who are called in the ministry. But I'm sorry, it's still only in Venice. Its name, if I translate in English, it is like King's Commandment or King's Order, and there are some advice how to receive the call and how to move with it and how to live the holy life with Jesus Christ and how to do His will here is in the earth, how it is in heaven. And today I will start from Revelation chapter 12 and verses 10 and 11. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death." This verse is... there is a group of the people who overcame the devil. It means it is the group of the winners. They had the mercy from the Lord or overcome the devil. And here in the verse 11 we see like the keys how they got the victory. And the first key is they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And I think it's every day in our life that main key how we can get the victory when we are in spiritual warfare or are living many difficulties. The main key is the blood of Jesus Christ to get the victory. The blood cleans us all sin, and blood is... For everything, if we are sick, even we need His blood, or if we have some disease, we need His blood. And I think that if we are under the blood covering in our life, then the enemy has the fear in his heart. If we are walking under the blood of Jesus Christ, so we have the boldness, and enemy has to fear and flee. So it means the enemy will be afraid if we really are under the blood of Jesus Christ. Satan is afraid of the blood of Jesus Christ. I think it was baddest time in the devil's life when Jesus cried out there on the cross of Calvary, "It is finished. It is finished." Then the devil had to flee. He got afraid there in the hell when he heard that loud voice from the Calvary, "It is finished." In the original language, that word, "it is finished," if some soldier got a great victory, he cried out the same words, "It is finished." So it's the cry out of the It is the crying out the winner's word, but Jesus Christ cried out there on the Calvary. One day I saw a vision when Jesus cried these words out there on the Calvary, that whole hell was shaking by the power of God when Jesus Christ cried out there on the Calvary this words, it is finished. So the blood of Jesus is the main key. Then here is the second, and by the word of the testimony. They overcame him by the word of their testimony. It means everyone of us has the testimony from the Lord. It means words, but also it means our life. Some preacher said that our life is the fifth gospel. Our whole life is the testimony to those who are outside of the kingdom. But also our life is testimony to our brothers and sisters inside the church. People are seeing us, how we are, what is our conduct with Jesus Christ. And if we are living holy life and doing things according to Bible and according to what the Spirit of God speak us, then the people will come encouraged in their heart. But if we fall in love with the worldly things, or if we start to walk in flesh, then the people will not come encouraged through our life. So our life is testimony, but of course there are the words. God gives us the word, and they are the testimony. They are not our own words, but Holy Spirit gives us the word of testimony. And if we have the testimony from the Lord, it means we overcome the devil through those words. These people overcame the devil through the words God gave them, and through the life, what is also the testimony. And the third, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And the third thing here is that they did not love their lives to the death. So it means that they were ready even to die for the Jesus Christ. In original text says when Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost came there at the day of Pentecost, it says that you will be my martyrs all over the world. It means that those people who overcame the devil, they were even ready to die because of Jesus Christ. They put all their whole life onto the God's table and were ready to serve God. It means they were not walking on flesh. They are walking in spirit, moving in spirit and doing his will here in the earth. And then we will see from 1 Timothy chapter 4 something more what Paul says to Timothy, how to live here in the earth. First Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. So here Paul gives some clear advice to young Timothy to be an example to the believers. And first thing he says, in word. In word it means what we speak. And in the other text in the New Testament says that you are the salt of the earth. And God's will is that we have salt in our mouth, that we speak His word, we speak out this salt, that our mouth is filled with His word. And it means also that God expects that we speak godly things, that we do not speak things from this world, or that we are not speaking according to the flesh, but we are speaking according to the God's word, that according what the Spirit tells us to speak. And we see here from Matthew 5 and 37, one verse there only, what God expects us, what He expects our speaking to be. Matthew 5 and 37. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than this is from the evil one. What does this mean? Let your yes be yes, and your no be no. It means firstly that all God's promises are yes. Whatever they are, God wants that our heart says yes. All God's promises, all His word, yes. But let your no be no. What this means? It means there have to be no to this world, no to the sin. So we can't walk after Jesus with any kind of compromising faith. There have to be no to this world, no to sin, no to flesh, and yes to the godly things. So it means there is black and there is white. There is not any kind of compromising faith. And He expects that our speaking is this. And our speaking is right if our heart is right. If our heart is full of God's word and our vessel is full of His Spirit, it automatically means that our speaking also is according His word. Because what is here in our heart, it comes out through our mouth. And then also, Bible says that if our eye sees right, the whole temple will be full of light. So it means that if we have the right sight before the Lord, that we see things right, so the whole temple will be full of light, godly light. So it means that we are like the lighthouse, because our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's like the lighthouse. And if it is full of His light, it means that our speaking also will be a yes to the godly things, and no to this world, and no to the sin, and no to the flesh. I think that every one of us has been so long time the Christians that we know that the nature of Adam will rise up again. Maybe every day the nature of the Adam will raise up. And we have to do something to that nature of Adam, and to speak to our flesh, be quiet, do not raise up, be quiet in the name of Jesus. So it means that our flesh has to be crucified with the Jesus Christ. So if our flesh is crucified every day with Jesus Christ, so it means that we do not love our life. We love, so then the Jesus Christ are ready to do His will here in the earth. And then the other chapter, Colossians chapter 4, talks more about our speaking. Colossians chapter 4. And it's verses 5 and 6. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, season it with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Season it with salt, and always be with grace. So he expects that there is salt what we are speaking. There is his grace, and there is salt, and of course there is his love also when we are speaking. But this is like the expectation from the Lord that we could have this wisdom toward those who are outside, that we could redeem the right current time, that we can speak his word to share out our testimony. There have to be salt, that they could understand that we are the servants of the living God. The next things what Paul says there, still in 1 Timothy 4, chapter 12, is to live example life in conduct. God is very much interested in what our conduct will be before his holy ways. Peter says that we have to come holy in our all conduct. It is here in First Peter, first chapter, and verse 15. Come holy. Even I can read 13 to 16, First Peter chapter 1 and 13 to 16. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. So it's God's expectation for us that our conduct is holy. Because he is holy, so he asks us also to be holy. And then we see something about the conduct also here, James chapter 3 and 13 to 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him so by God, by good conduct, that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil things are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first poor, then peaceable, gently, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without, partiality, and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. This is just the end of this chapter, but in this same chapter, James teaches very much what is God's expectation, what there have to be our mouth. this chapter here earlier says that the man can rule the ship or ride the horse, but when it comes to question about our tongue, we can't rule our tongue without the blood of Jesus Christ. We can do many things. Someone can stop smoking by strong nature. Somebody can stop drinking only such that he has a strong nature. But then when it comes to question about our tongue, we can't rule our tongue without the blood of Jesus Christ. We can do many other things, but when it comes to question about what we speak, we need every day the blood of Jesus Christ and mercy from the Lord that we learn to speak right. It is here the verse 8, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Does no spring yield both salt water and fresh? So it means that we need much grace from the Lord that we learn to speak right. I think that many times many Christians believe things right in their heart, but then their speaking is against that what they believe here in the heart. But there have to be like the connection. What we really have here in the heart, it's God's expectation. It is also in our mouth. We have to speak out all godly things. When there in the Matthew chapter 11, when Jesus cursed the fig tree, after that he started to teach about godly faith. And then he was saying that if somebody do not doubt, he could speak to the mountain and it will remove from its place. Because there is faith, and this man or woman speak right words, and then the mountain have to remove. It have to go to the other place because there is faith which speaks to the mountains. And what kind of things are these mountains in our life to which we have to speak? Maybe every day there are some things to which we have to speak. Sometimes there are sicknesses, we have to speak to them. Sometimes there is the nature of Adam raising up and we have to speak to it, be quiet before the Lord. And many times there are the devil's spirits coming and we have to speak to them, be quiet and go out, get out in the name of Jesus Christ. They are those real mountains. I think that those natural mountains are such right place. We need not to remove them to the other place. But God's expectation is that we learn what are those spiritual mountains to which we have to speak every time. And many times there are bad living conditions and God wants to raise up above them like to fly like the eagle about those living condition and speak victory. Many times our eyes see bad things, but we have to see much far. If you think the life of Abraham, he was seeing up there to the sky when he was seeing the stars there. Or then he could go to see the sand there beside the sea. God put his to see some things much far. He was not just seeing and living that day what was at hand. He was in faith seeing maybe many generations in front. And he was getting older and older, coming closer to 100 years. And Sarah was getting 90. And still he was seeing the stars and remembering the promise of God that God is faithful. If he had seen only the natural eyes, there has been much problem because Sarah was getting older and older. But he was seeing in spirit that there will be the jälkeläiset. There will be children, many children, inheritance. And many children will raise up and many generation will raise up. So it means that because New Testament text also says that we are the children of Abraham, that we have to learn to point our sight to things which are above. And even to think those things which are above. It's very easy to fall to those things which are here in the earth. To think earthly things and then to start to speak them. And if we start to think and speak earthly things, then we are even leaving earthly life. But God's expectation for us is that we lift up our sight to His promises. Or even Jesus Christ who has given us this new life. Then here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, the third thing which Paul says to Timothy to live example life is in love. Be example in faith, in conduct, in love. So every day we have to make our decision that we are following Jesus in love. Loving God whole our heart, whole our strength and whole power. And then we could love neighbor. It's here in Luke chapter 10 and 25. Luke chapter 10 and 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. So it means that if we love Lord God all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength and all our mind, if we really love Him, then we also have the ability to love our neighbors. We can try to love our neighbors, but if we don't love our God, or don't love Jesus Christ with our whole heart, we don't have ability to love our neighbor. So we have to point our love first to Jesus Christ, because He is like the spring of the love. There we can receive the new love and new grace every morning. And if we receive it, then we can and we have ability to love our brothers and sisters, but also those who are outside. Because those who are in outside, they are all the time looking and seeing us that how we are going on, what is our life. And if they see the love of Christ in us, so there will come the day when they will repent. I remember old story I try to describe is in English. It's happened in China many years ago. There was a Christian farmer, And he had a farm there, some fields there on the mountain side. And that time, and even today, they had to pump the water up there to that hill, that mountain side by the hand. They had a hand pump there. And then there was another farmer who was not Christian. And every night that other farmer came and stole the water from that Christian farmer. Because there was the space, like the big hole there in the side of mountain where that Christian farmer pumped the water. And then nighttime that other farmer came and stole that water and wore it down to his own fields. And what was the reaction of that Christian farmer? When he next day found out that the neighbor had stolen all water from his hole there, he made his decision, and after that night he started, first when he started to pump the water up there to the hill, first he willed that water space of that wicked man. Could you understand? He pumped the water first to that wicked man, willed up his space, that hole what was there on the mountain side, and then he pumped the water for his own use. And maybe there went only 3 weeks when that wicked one became Christian, because it touched his heart so deeply. And then there was other story from some jail from China that there were many Christians in prison, and they had very less food. But once a year, the Chinese people had just celebration, they call like the moon celebration or something like that. And that day they even brought one egg for the all prisoners there. And then when the Christians got that one egg, they did not eat them. They went to the hospital of the there in the prison and gave the egg to those who were very weak. And then maybe there went 10 years or more, and then finally came the time when Lord had mercy to them, that they God was set them free from that jail. And that day when they were leaving their homes after 10 years prison time, then the leader of that jail came to say to those Christians that really that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Because he had seen that love. They were hungry, but they did not eat that egg by themselves. They were thinking through the love that there are somebody who is more weak than we are. And so they took that one egg to the hospital and gave to the weak people. And it was the love testimony to that leader of that jail that he said, oh really, Jesus Christ is the Lord. So how we live, how we walk in love, it speaks us very much. And if you see chapter 2 in Revelation, we understood that God underlines very deeply in our life what it means to have first love. I think everybody, maybe all Christians, are thinking that first love is that hour, that moment when we became Christians. And of course, it was first love when we first came and gave our life to Jesus Christ and received Him as our personal Savior. But I think there is something more also what the first love will mean. And we see, if you see here in Revelation chapter 2, we understand that the church of Ephesus was living, I think, like godly life. They had the right doctrine, and they understood who are the false apostles, and they understood very much spiritual things, but however they got the heart word from the Lord. And we read here from the Revelation chapter 2. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says, he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, I know your works, your labor, your, how you say,
patience,
and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have bound them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. So they did most of the thing they understood right, and they did them right way. And still God says that I will remove the lampstand from its place if you do not repent. So I think that the love will be the even the most important question in our Christian life. That if we do not walk in life, if our conduct is not under His love, our life is just nothing. But if we have the love of the Lord in our heart, we have everything. And then we have also the fruit of love. Is His love is here in our heart. It means that His love inspires, gives us inspiration to do right things. And His love gives inspiration to us speak right things. Because His law is here in our heart. I think that the Old Testament days, the law of the Lord was much, even I can say, outside of the people's life. But when Jesus died there on the Calvary, God put His law in our heart. It is here in our heart. And we have, if we are walking in love, it means automatically that law will get its fulfillment in our heart. It means we do things right if here is love of the Lord. And we speak right. But I think that first love means also that we, when we do decision in our life, that we learn to put the Jesus Christ to the first place in our life. Whatever we have to do decision in our life, that we learn to put Jesus to the first place. And even to ask from Jesus how I could process this thing through in my life. So first love means that we ask first from the Jesus how I process things through in my life. How I could do this with this thing. Many times it happens that we first do the things, and then when we found out if something went wrong, then we come and ask Jesus what is wrong. But I think God's mind is that we first come to ask from Jesus how I do this thing, and then He gives us the advice how to do things. And this is first love. That we put the Jesus to the first place. I was one meeting there maybe 2 months ago or 3 months ago in Finland. And it was very nice meeting, and there was much praising and singing. And suddenly that lady who was leading that praising there and playing her guitar, suddenly she was first sitting there in front. Suddenly she left there from her place and left that empty chair there in front and went to play there in the back of that room. All church was waited here in the front, the eyes, and the praising leader went there back of that room. And then there still was that empty chair, and I was thinking that she left the place for the Jesus. She wanted that people are not seeing that she is playing there. She wanted to mention that Jesus Christ is present in their meeting. That Jesus Christ will meet every people there. And it touched my heart very, very deeply. So the first love is very important thing. We have to seek it like the gold. We have to seek the first love. And if you receive and if you have every day the first love, I will even promise to you, even guarantee it, that you have everything. If you have first love, right relationship to God, then you have the right relationship to your neighbors, and then you have everything. So everything is hanging in the word love, or even hanging in the word first love. If we have first love, we have everything what we need here in the earth. We are missing nothing. There is then all. Because there is his fullness in first love. There is fullness of Jesus Christ. Then Paul says here again in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Be example in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit. Example in spirit. What does it mean that Paul mentioned Timothy to be example in spirit? It means that we have to mention every time that it really is Holy Spirit doing work through us. That we have to take care that the devil don't bring any confusion or any kind of ungodly things to the temple. Temple is our body, but then the Corinthians says also that the whole church is the temple of living God. And we have to take care of that temple, that there don't come inside any unclean spirits, that there will be only the Spirit of God. Because the Antichrist want to come and poison the church and poison the temple. And there has been the whole history of the New Testament church has been the fight against the spirit of Antichrist. It started to work already during the apostolic church, and the spirit of Antichrist is still doing things. And we have to take heed that there is also the spirit of Antichrist doing work during these days. But if we are walking in God's spirit, and if our temple is full of his spirit, then there is no room for the spirit of Antichrist or any kind of evil spirits. But what happened to the churches there in Galatia? They start to live in flesh, and then Paul wrote them, and so soon you received the other spirit. I can say my own word that Paul said to them, I taught the things to you right, but you so soon received wrong spirit. There came the wrong spirit, there came the evil spirit, because they want to walk in flesh. They did mistakes. And what had the Apostle Paul to do with them? He start to have a strong intercession that those people, that Christ will raise up in their hearts, those people in Galatians. There were many churches in Galatia. It's like the county or something like that. It's not only one church. There were many churches. And he had to start to strong intercession that the Spirit of God will raise up in their hearts again. That they will again forsake the fleshly ways and open their hearts for the Spirit of God again. So it means they did not took heed of their conduct. They did mistakes, and then the spirit of devil deceived them. But Apostle Paul did something and helped them to raise up again in spirit. And then the next thing what Paul talks to Timothy is to live example life in faith. And I was already talking it that if we have real faith, we could talk to the mountain that it will remove. And good example from real weight is the life of Joshua and Caleb. Bible said that they had the different spirit, they had the other spirit. There were all 12 spices which God sent to spice the land. But then the Bible says that Joshua and Caleb had the other spirit. They had the spirit of faith. Those 10 men had the, I can say they had the spirit of doubting. They never could go to possess the land. Their relationship with the God was wrong. But what was right in the life of Joshua and Caleb, they were seeing in their eyes the promise of God. We will go and possess the land. What was wrong with those others? They were seeing a giant there, and they were seeing all those bad things there. So it means they were looking the things through their natural eyes. But Joshua and Caleb were seeing the promise of God, and they said, God has promised this land to us, we will go and possess it, and we will get that land for the God. They had the spirit of faith. And last thing here is what Paul says to Timothy is, be example in purity. Purity means to live holy life, to have poor heart. And those people who has the poor heart, they are blessed. Jesus says there in sometime his I call it like the mountain speech or mountain message, he speaks that they have great joy who has the poor heart. So God's expectation for us is that we live holy life and take heed our conduct and take sure that we have first love. And here in the end I will read something from 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 15, and after that I will and verse maybe from 10, maybe from 8 even. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 8. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day it will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it, do you say endures? Or how you say? He will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So it means that there is like the expectation from God that we find these real materials how to build on the foundation which is Jesus Christ. Because this verse 15 says that if somebody's work will burn, he will suffer loss. And he himself feels saved, yet so as through fire. What does this verse 15 really mean? It means that this man or woman is entering to heaven. He's coming to heaven to be with the Lord. But what does it mean? There is coming any kind of fruit with her or with himself. Because this person hasn't find the real material, hasn't find the real things how to build on this foundation. So I hope that I have planted the good ground this day, that everybody will have this how to build on this foundation, and we will believe and walk after Jesus in first love, and to learn to do his will here like it is in heaven. So God's will is that all things which come from this world, that we could say no to them, that all things which rise up from the flesh, we could say them no, and that we could say to the Adam nature, be quiet before the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ. And that our heart will say all to godly things, yes. Even there might be some promises which we even can't understand with our natural mind, but even to them we can say, yes, Lord, let it happen according your promises. And we will pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come to your holy presence, and Lord, I want to bless everybody you sent this Sunday morning here, and I will bless every family here, and Lord, I will ask that multiply your work here and encourage everybody's heart today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we thank you, will come more people, and you are the God who will increase this work. Hallelujah. Bless everybody you send. Hallelujah. And help everybody to do what you have called he or her to do here in the earth. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Help us to be the salt of the earth. Hallelujah. Help our speech be salted. Hallelujah. Be full of word and full of your spirit, full of your first love. Hallelujah. Help us to take heed our conduct, Lord God. Hallelujah. If there are worldly things in our life, we ask that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank your holy blood, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank the blood which cleans all sin. Hallelujah. We thank the blood which heals. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We receive a healing for somebody's back just now in the name of Jesus. The pain in the back, be quiet in the name of Jesus Christ. And we receive healing for that now in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank that there will be healing and felt that back in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We receive healing for somebody's shoulders this time in the name of Jesus, and the neck also in the name of Jesus Christ, that there be healing for shoulders and neck in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And by anointing, we break all yokes of the devil, somebody's head in the name of Jesus. We destroy all work of evil in the name of Jesus, and let there be freedom in somebody's head. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. By anointing, the all yoke will be broken. Hallelujah. And there will be healing and freedom in somebody's head just now. All this distress and all bad things, they will go out, and there will be freedom and healing in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we thank Jesus the day this Lord has made, and we will restore it. Hallelujah. 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 And we thank that the joy of the Lord is our strength, and hallelujah. Today and tomorrow and forever we have the joy from the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Lord, we ask that open our hearts to receive more first love and to understand more what it means to have first love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Help us to love your Lord more, that we could love our neighbors, that we could even love the wicked people inside your kingdom, into your kingdom. Hallelujah. Pour out more love among your congregation this day. Lord God, I ask in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, 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 and we receive the healing for the right knee now in the name of Jesus. Right knee be healed in the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, hallelujah, and right ankle be healed in the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, hallelujah, the whole right would be healed in the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah. We rebuke all pain in knee and ankle in the name of Jesus Christ, and we thank it will be healed in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, 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 oh glory, hallelujah. We thank your mercies, we thank your goodness, oh Lord God, hallelujah, hallelujah, oh glory Jesus, hallelujah. Lord, thank you your blessing, thank you your guiding, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we ask that bless all days of rest days what we have in our life here in the earth. Lord, we know that our days are short here in the earth. Even we live here 70 or 80 years, our days are short, and teach us to count our days right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Help us to take heed how we conduct here in the earth. Hallelujah. Help us to put more things to your hand in our life. Hallelujah. Help us to arrange more time for you in our daily life. Hallelujah. Lord, we ask there will be more time for God in our life every day. Hallelujah. More hours, more minutes, more seconds for your youth and for your kingdom. Hallelujah. 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 And pour out your spirit upon all gifts you have given. And even if you are giving more, open hearts to receive more gifts, Lord God. This time, this hour we pray. We receive the gifts of healing. We thank that gift that it will work in this congregation. Hallelujah. Gifts of healing will work. Hallelujah. As there will be open vessels for that in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And I thank that somebody's hands are burning because there are gifts of healing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Your hands are burning because God has anointed you to pray for the sick people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he says to you, go on. Go on with faith and be faithful servant. Hallelujah. Labor by faith. Here will be healing power, and the fruit will testify that Lord God has sent you to pray for sick, and they will come heal. They will heal because of the Jesus' name's sake. Hallelujah. And we thank the gift of prophecy, Lord. We ask more anointing for that gift. There is already a gift of prophecy in some vessel, and we ask that, Lord God, open that vessel. Open it, receive more anointing for gift of prophecy. We ask in the name of Jesus, more anointing upon this gift. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, we thank. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory God, hallelujah. And Lord God, we thank the gift of faith in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. There will be the spirit of faith, somebody's temple, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank there will be a strong anointing like the Joshua and Caleb had the strong anointing, the spirit of faith, hallelujah. We thank that there will be operate the spirit of faith through some ministry, hallelujah. Lord, we thank that in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, your holy presence. We thank first love, Lord God. Lord, bless everybody. Bless all gifts you have given to this congregation. Help, Lord, that all talents, whatever you have given or you will give today, help them all come on the table for use before your holy face, Lord God. All talents for use. Lord, in your name, I will bless all talents to come for use. Hallelujah. That any talents will be hidden, but every talent will be in use, in practical use. Hallelujah. We thank Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank these small days. We ask faithfulness during these small days that greater will come. Spirit of God says, greater days will come. Be faithful. Greater days will come. I will give the bigger and greater days for you. But be faithful during the small days. I will bless more to you. But be faithful, be obedient, and more will come. More and more. Fruit is coming. Fruit is coming. Hallelujah. Sow your seed by faith with prayers, and fruit will come. Sow your seed by faith, and fruit will come. Heavenly fruit will come. Whatever you do for the Lord, for His kingdom, do by faith. Never doubt. Never do anything through doubting. Do everything by faithing. Faithing through faith, believing and trusting to God. Be blessed. Be strong. Hallelujah. And be anointed in your ministry to do the will of the Lord. Hallelujah. Here in the earth, like it is in heaven. Be blessed. Amen.